Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you joined us for the 72nd episode of our podcast, and we are pleased today to be joined by a guest making a triumphant return, I believe, for the third time to our program, all the way from Columbia, Tennessee. Chad Landman joins us. Chad, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Triumphant return, man. That's big things to, I got to back that up here in a few minutes. I guess I got to have some good stuff to talk about, huh?
Well, you've been here a couple times before, so people know that that is nowhere near an exaggeration. That's not just, shop talk. That's just telling the truth right there.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you so much for having me on.
Chad is one of those guys that is kind of a jack of a whole lot of trades, and one of the things he is really good at is tech information, and he's kind of become like the among churches of Christ kind of the go-to tech guy, and so we've had him a couple of times to talk about that on the program. But Chad, you do a whole lot more than just answering my tech questions with your life. So for those who may not have listened before or may not know who you are, take a moment, introduce yourself, and show about your family and your work, and also your website.
Yes, and my name is Chad Lehman, of course, as he said before, and I'm the education minister at the Gray Mirror Church of Christ here in Columbia, Tennessee. Been here about a year and a half. Did a youth ministry for about 7 years before that. I was previously at the Church Street Church of Christ, a wonderful place, and I had an opportunity to come here to Columbia and do education ministry, and I think it's the best fit for the job that I love. I get to teach, I get to preach a little bit, and I get to hang out with the youth group a little bit, so it's kind of like I'm a jack of all minister trades a little bit around here, so it's really great. But I coordinate all the classes here at Graymere, and I absolutely love it. My wife Bonnie and I are expecting our third boy, and third and final boy at this time, and probably too much information on that, but that's okay. Third boy, and we have two little boys, 5 and 2, Jacob and David, and the third, Micah, will be here with us in March. And so I love them to death, and it's just absolutely wonderful to be here, and wonderful to be here in Columbia. My website is chadl.co, and there I occasionally I will write something. I will blog there and write about either Christianity or tech or both, and I will talk about different things. I have active digital parenting there as well, and that has just that is probably the thing that I get the most requests for now. I am actually heading in about 2 weeks. I'm going to be heading to California to speak at the Woodward Park Church there in Fresno and do a digital parenting seminar for them. And it's basically a way to help parents to empower and encourage parents to use technology to protect their children online, but also for the glory of God. And so I try to go to a lot of different places and talk about that. And it turns out people really want to hear those kinds of things. And so it's really, really taken off for me as well.
Well, I hope people will check out your active digital media, and we will make sure we have a link to your website as well as to the specific page about active digital media in the show notes for this episode, and those can be found at fawnfamily.com/pod72, fawnfamily.com/pod72. So, Chad, we have a podcast here for families, and families like to go out and make memories, and they like to take a zillion, skillion photos and put them all on Facebook and Instagram and everything else in the world. But if those people are anything like me, well, most of the pictures stink. But one of the things that we want to talk about, and I mentioned this to Leah a couple of weeks ago, and she said she thought it was a good idea for a podcast. And if Leah thinks it's a good idea for a podcast, I know it's a good idea for a podcast, is all of us, or most of us anyway, have a pretty good camera in our pocket. And in the notes you sent to me, some things you want to make sure we talked about in this episode, I love the quotation you had right at the start. You said the best camera is the one you have with you. And nearly all of us are carrying a pretty good camera around with us now, aren't we?
Absolutely. And how many times have you been out somewhere and you wanted to take a picture of something, but you didn't have your good camera, quote unquote, with you? You only had your smartphone with you. Everybody has their smartphone with them everywhere they go pretty much today. And with the cameras in these smartphones today, 10 years ago, you couldn't say that smartphones had good cameras. But now with such advancements, you've got the iPhone 7 with its dual cameras. You've got the Google Pixel, which is supposedly the highest rated smartphone camera out there right now. You cannot beat these cameras. They do some amazing things. They take amazing pictures. You can go to apple.com or google.com/pixel and check out some of the photos that have actually been taken with these new phones. And let's be honest, phones, cameras, smartphones for the last few years have been very, very good. And so that's why I put that in there. The best camera is the one that you have with you. And we always are going to have our smartphones with us. These smartphone cameras are now rivaling what you would normally carry around as a DSLR. They're never going to be a replacement for a digital single lens reflex camera. Those big cameras with the big lenses that professionals use for different things, they're never going to be a full replacement. But at the same time, you're going to find that they're just going to be fine for 99% of people in pretty much 99% of situations. And so, you know, you're taking pictures and videos of your kids in the backyard. You're taking pictures and these are not things that you're going to put up on the wall necessarily. These are not things that are going to go on the side of billboards, on the side of buildings. But what they are going to do is they're going to go into slideshows. They're going to go, like you said, on Facebook, on social media and those different things. And they just are really, really great because they're always right there with you.
Yeah, you talked about, you know, the smartphones have come such a long way. I wish I could remember what this was a commercial for, but there was a commercial several years ago now, 8 or 9 years ago probably now, Chad, where somebody was running down the street, you know, trying to run down some kind of worker. I want to say it's Best Buy or something like that, asking all these tech questions. And for some reason, the one that jumps out my mind is this older person holding up a phone going, "Megapixels, what's a megapixel?"
And you're right. You're absolutely right. The, you know, we look at the phones and how far they've come. I mean, we've seen smartphones just take a giant leap in the last 10 years. You know, this is the 10th anniversary week of the iPhone being unveiled by Apple 10 years ago this week. And so I think about that. And I've seen all these articles and different people reflecting on that and stuff. And you really think about it, the iPhone started it all. It started us carrying around these smartphones in our hands. And what these companies figured out early on is that they were going to make it this thing be the best camera that you could possibly have in your home, period. And they wanted to do that so that you would make this your single device for taking photos, for sharing videos, and all those different things as well.
All right, so you know, we're out with our family, you know, at the park, or we're at a taking a trip or something, and we realize, you know what, you know, in my case, I'm just not a photo buff. I'm not going to buy a $1,000 camera. I'm just going to have my smartphone and take snapshots and those sorts of things. You know, you're good. You know, you are kind of a photography buff. You have a regular camera as well as a smartphone, but when I look at it, I can't tell the difference. You know, it's amazing, you know, some of the photos you take. Kind of remind us or teach us, you know, what are just some of the basics when we're going to take a snapshot, what to keep in mind. So even with our smartphone, you know, that picture turns out better than just the old pixelated, you know, blurry photograph that we kind of go, why did I even think about taking this thing?
Right. Well, first of all, I would say that before you even snap a photo, you need to decide where to keep these photos before you start taking them. Because how many times, and there's probably people out there right now that are looking at their smartphone and deleting photos because they're running out of space on their phone. And there are so many great services, especially, you know, you've got iOS and Android that are the big players here. And they have two really great services. In fact, the two I'm going to talk about, one of them is available on both platforms. When you look at iOS and Android, you can use Google Photos. They've actually got a commercial on television right now showing these crazy, absurd, awesome things that people are trying to capture. And then it pops up on the screen and says, your storage is almost full.
Including Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's in like a forest, and he's walking by, and they're capturing and everything. And then it says, doo-doo, and it pops up, storage almost full. And how many times has that happened to you? Well, this day and age, that shouldn't be happening. If you just do a little preparation work and put your photos in the cloud, you will be able to have almost unlimited storage space. Google Photos is what I'm talking about for both iOS and Android. And you can actually download that for iOS for the iPhone, and Android, it's built right in. And you can actually, if you got a Google account with Android, your Android phone, you can sign up that and it will actually sync that. All your photos with whatever you take automatically over Wi-Fi. So they're automatically backed up. First of all, they're backed up. And second of all, you're not going to run into those storage issues anymore. And so that's, I would highly recommend Google Photos. It's really great. And Google Photos is also really good for searching, as you know, Google's pretty decent at search as it is.
They're all right.
And what they have done is they've got this photo algorithm that you can actually, you can go in your photos library. And if you have a library of 5,000 photos like I do, you go in there and type in trees, and it's amazing how many photos will come up that have a tree in them. It's amazing. You can do other objects like horses. I did one with game controllers, and it came up with a couple of pictures of game controllers that people were like holding in a picture, or there was a game controller picture. It's unreal. And so it's if you're one that doesn't, we've kind of got this huge mountain of photos, and we don't take the time to categorize them or process them or delete them necessarily. They just all kind of sit on our phones and take up space. And Google Photos is designed with that in mind. And so,
and that also helps, Chad. I'll mention here that also helps, you know, when it's time to change phones,
right?
You're not trying to figure out, okay, do I need to get these photos off this phone onto another phone or onto my computer? You fire up your new phone and open up Google Photos, and there they are.
Absolutely. If you're like me and you have a bad habit of sticking your cell phone on top of your car and then driving away with it, then you'll know that all those photos, at least the up to the very most recent photos, are going to be backed up in the cloud, that you can just re-download all of those. On Google Photos, you can go into the browser on your computer, and you can download every single photo that you've ever taken that you've synced with Google Photos. So I'd really invite people to do that.
And that is free up to, what is it, 15 megabytes, I believe?
Up to 15 gigabytes, yes, sir. And
gigabytes, yeah. Megabytes wouldn't be very much.
Yeah, megabytes would be about, you'd get about 3 photos in there.
Yeah, well, kind of give an idea, how many pictures is that just from a normal, you know, snapping pictures on a cell phone, 50 gigabytes worth?
Oh, goodness. If you were to do the actual math on it, 50 gigs of photos would probably be about 20,000.
I was going to say, it's multiple thousands for sure. So we're not talking here about free and you take 5 pictures and it's full. We're talking into the multiple thousands of pictures for free.
Right.
And then you also mentioned, you also have one here that's iOS, you know, Apple product only that you recommend.
Right. And it's an iCloud photo library, and it's also built right into every iPhone and iOS device. And you can take those and it will sync those directly with the cloud. And you automatically get 5 gigabytes free. Which is not very much if you think about it, and it kind of runs out pretty quickly. But you can actually pay 99 cents a month, and you can actually pay Google Photos as well. I think they do the same kind of tier programs, mm-hmm. you know, 99 cents, $1.99 a month. But I actually pay $3 a month, and I get 200 gigabytes of storage. But you can just start initially and say, okay, I just want 50 gigabytes of storage, and I do that for 99 cents a month. And I still haven't run out of space on mine, and I take a lot of different photos in 4K video, and I still haven't run out of space. And they do some really cool stuff, just like Google does, of optimizing the space on your phone so that you see all those photos on your phone, but they're merely thumbnails. And when mm-hmm. you click on one, it actually downloads it from the internet, and you can actually look at it. It's all synced into the cloud.
Very good. So that was great. You kind of helped me out there. I was talking about actually taking the picture, but you're right. We need to make sure we know where they're going before we actually snap the picture. So Google Photos for either, you know, an Apple device, iOS device, or an Android device. If you're Apple, we're going to stay in Apple with every single thing. iCloud is a great solution there. So now we know where they're going. How do we actually take the picture?
Well, the great thing about just taking pictures on a smartphone is that these have been designed this way for the past, you know, several years. They have been designed with the fact of taking them quickly, taking them accurately, and taking them to make them just look great. And Apple and Google both have had great advancements in the camera photography technology that they have put into these phones. And so it's really, really easy for you to just click on your phone, swipe the screen, open the camera app, and hit the shutter button, and you're going to capture a really good photo. If you had a DSLR camera, you would have to make sure that the f-stop was correct and the you know, everything, and the focus was correct and your focal point was this way, and you'd have to make sure all this stuff was ready, your lighting and everything like that was really good. But these smartphone cameras have gotten so good that it's so easy for us to just snap pictures, wink, 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 just snap them right and left. And so,
and that's kind of one key, and is basically it is. Because it's free, take a bunch and delete the bad ones.
Absolutely. And there's no, it's digital. You're not using any kind of film here. So you need to make sure that you just, and professional photographers will tell you that 9 out of 10 photos they take, they're not going to use. When they do this on a professional basis, you could probably take, I've shot a couple of weddings. I am by no means a professional photographer, and I don't claim to be, but I have shot a few weddings. But every wedding photographer that I've talked to that does that for a living say, oh yeah, I shoot probably 1,200 to 1,500 photos, and about 100 of them are used. And so that's all you're going to get. So with these digital cameras, you've got all this storage space. You've got all these really dynamic, fast cameras on these nice smartphones. Take a bunch of pictures. iOS, I know, I can't speak for Google necessarily because I don't use their camera app all that much. But on iOS, you can press and hold the shutter button and it'll take a burst photography of like 20 pictures in 1 second. And so if you've got little kids, having a fast access to your camera and having a camera that will just take it just like that at the snap of a finger is just absolutely great. Your technique necessarily doesn't, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. But if you're not going to be taking portrait photos with these, you're going to be taking action shots. You're going to be taking right. zoom shots of kids playing ball. You're going to be taking videos of kids running around the backyard and things like that. And these phones have been catered exactly to that to help you just get the best photo possible. The thing that we need to realize is that there's so much post-processing that's going on the phone the second after you hit the shutter button. And the second you hit the shutter button, it may not be the best photo. It may not be in the best focus. It may not have the right focal point at all. But you know what? This software has gotten so smart that it's going to figure all that out for you and give you the best possible photo. It takes probably 3 or 4 photos at the same time every time you take one. And so these things are, you know, they're smartphones for a reason. They're very, very smart.
So the main thing is just take a lot of pictures. You're going to find some you don't like, and that's okay. The other thing I've heard people say before, Chad, and you can debunk this myth or say that's exactly right, is be careful about lighting. And most of us hear that and we think, oh, goodness, I've got to buy, you know, all these fancy lights and everything. But basically the idea is the lighter a place is, more likely, the better you're going to be able to focus and take a picture. Isn't that basically correct?
That's basically correct. And low light photography is very difficult. Even for the professional photographer, low light photography is very difficult. So if you're, you know, around a bonfire or you're out at night with no really lights around and everything, some of the very new smartphones are going to have really good low light photography and you're still going to get to snap an image and it's going to look relatively good. But if you have an older smartphone that's 2, 3, 4 years old, some of those do not handle low light photography very well, and you're not going to get a good picture. And if you do get a good picture, it's going to be grainy because the software is trying to overcompensate for the lack of light. So yeah, you don't need to go buy any lights. You don't need to do any of that kind of stuff. But you know, in the backyard on a sunshiny day, or even maybe an overcast day like today, it's not going to be a problem. Your cell phone is going to have just enough light to be able to take a really great picture.
Very good. So now we know where they're going to go. We know, hey, just snap away.
Right. I wanted to mention as well, you know, get on YouTube and look up some photography tips. If you really want to take better pictures, there is tons of free places that you can do that. If you're willing to pay $25 a month for maybe a 1 month subscription to lynda.com, lynda.com, they have some professional photographers that will literally sit down with you on videos and tell you about the basics of photography. And so if it's something that you wanted to look into and take better pictures, then starting with a really good smartphone camera is not a bad way to start photography if you want to get into that.
Very good. I had never heard of that before. Lynda, I'd never heard of that before.
Lynda's great. Lynda has like a ton of pretty much everything that you can think of tech-wise. They have professionals that have done really well put together videos on anything, Photoshop, InDesign, any of that kind of stuff.
Very good. So now we kind of know where we're going, and we're getting ready to take a trip. We're getting ready to go to a kid's ball game or band concert, and we have a smartphone. We're going to take a bunch of pictures. Chad, let's get nerdy. Let's talk apps.
Okay.
Because every phone has, you know, the camera built in, but we also can search, you know, the app store for the Apple or Google Play, and there's 15 zillion camera apps or photo apps. And you sent a list of about 5 for Android, about 5 for iOS that you recommend. So kind of just maybe walk us through, you know, 2 or 3 of those each and kind of tell us why, instead of just the built-in camera app, maybe these might be a better option.
Okay. Well, the best let's start with Android, and we'll start
Absolutely.
With Android.
That's what I have. Yes. Yeah,
okay.
With that.
And Google Camera is actually not available on every. It doesn't come built in to every Android smartphone. So if you buy a Samsung phone, you're going to get Samsung's camera app on built in. But the great thing about Android, one of the many great things about Android, is that you can actually switch your camera that you use by default, and so you can download any number of camera apps and use those as your default camera apps. So keep that in mind. Can't do that on iOS, but you can do that on Android. So I highly recommend Google Camera because Google has optimized that for pretty much any kind of software that goes on any kind of phone that has Android on it. And so you're going to find a lot of different settings, a lot of different things that you can do to tweak your photos, a lot of different zooms and different things like that. And plus, the best part is it's very quick, and that's what you want. Some of the smartphone cameras that you have on Android that are tied to the operating system are not very quick.
And that is the case with mine. It is slow.
And it'll take, you know, it'll take you several seconds to bring it up, and you're going to miss that moment, and oh my goodness, and it's just infuriating sometimes. But Google Camera has been optimized for several different types of smartphones, and I would highly recommend going and downloading that as well, making that your default camera on Android. But then, you know, for both platforms, actually, iOS and Android, I have Instagram. And Instagram may not be used as a camera app necessarily, but it's a great app for sharing just photos. And Instagram came along several years ago, and it has just exploded in popularity. It's the most popular social network on the planet. And it is just really great. They've got some filters on there that you can use or not use. You can adjust and edit your photo. And they mainly use the square format for photos. So if you're thinking about using Instagram to post a photo a day or something like that, you may want to keep in mind that it is a square format on your cell phone, so that it just optimizes to that screen so you can scroll through people's timelines and stuff. But it's really, I enjoy Instagram because I can look at, it's kind of the my curated social feed, I guess. I can see only what I want to see on there. I can see pictures of football or video games or just my friends or just my family and things like that. And it's really, really great. And they have some other features as well, but it's got a really good camera app built into it as well. Want to move on to VSCOcam, VSCOcam. And this is a really, this is probably one of the top camera apps for both Android and iOS. It originally came out on iOS, and I've got it as number one as my best camera app on iOS. And but it's also for Android as well. And you do have to, one of the negatives for that is that they do want you to sign up for an account for VSCOcam. So when you download that, they'll just want you to log into an account. It's almost like an Instagram kind of thing. But they have some really great features as far as ways to take photos. The filters are a lot better. You can always export any of these to your camera roll, and you can put them in any application that you want, whether you're sharing those on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And so you'll be able to export these photos from that. But VSCOcam is just really cool. It got really big because a lot of artsy people were using it to do actually art photography with their smartphones. But then it just became a general use. Hey, this is just a great camera app to use, and it's really, really great. Moving on our Android list, I've got two right here, and one of them is more of a editor than it is a camera. But number four, I've got Camera Zoom FX, and it's actually really good. It's almost like having a manual zoom versus a digital zoom on your photos. And so it's a really, really great camera app. It has a lot of fine-tuning features that you can change settings and f-stops. Say you're doing, wanting to do some of that low light photography, you know, you want to shoot maybe some fireworks, or you want to do some bonfire photography, take some pictures at a youth group bonfire or something. Well, you can actually manually bump those things down like you can in a couple of apps that I'm going to talk about for iOS here. You can actually bump that down to allow more light into the lens and have a lot more granular control over your camera than you would with a normal Google Camera app. Some of these apps are designed like Instagram doesn't have those fine-tuning features necessarily. You just have to kind of snap it and let Instagram figure it out, or let Google Camera figure it out. But something like VSCO, something like Camera Zoom FX is going to give you more fine-tuned features. One of the ones that I wanted to talk about for iOS is Manual and Camera Plus. Camera Plus has been around for a very long time. I would highly recommend Camera Plus for iOS if you have an iPhone. And they have a ton of different settings, a ton of different ways that you can adjust your picture before you even take it. And it's just a really, really great app. And the last one I really wanted to talk about, it's also available on iOS and Android, is Snapseed. I will tell you, I've never seen anything like Snapseed. Snapseed was bought by Google, and it's a way of editing your photos and putting effects on your photos, such as an HDR effect, or you can put a grunge effect on them, and it
completely changes how the photo looks. You can make the photo look way more dynamic, dramatic. It will accent certain things, wrinkles in faces, landscapes. I mean, it's incredible what this app can do, and it is free. It is run by Google, and it is just a wonderful app. And you can also do all the different things. You can export those to your camera roll and use those and post those anywhere as well. So that's kind of the one, the kind of the list I have of good camera apps. There's a ton more, and you know, if they're free, I would just invite you to download them and just test them out, see what you think about them, and no harm in doing that, but find what works for you the best and find what works for your device the best. If you're on Android especially, you may have certain apps that work better than others for your certain smartphone. So that's what I would tell you to do right there. But that's kind of my list, my short list of Android and iOS camera apps.
Your short list. You just named more than I even knew existed. So that's his short list, folks. That's why he's here. One more thing I want to take just a moment to talk about is, you know, some people still want to print photographs. And we're talking about uploading them to Facebook or making slideshows and that sort of thing. And, you know, some of us still like to actually hold pictures and those sorts of things. And there's a lot of ways to do that. You know, there's services like Snapfish. You can make books, and we use Chatbooks. We just started. We kind of got into that recently, and love Chatbooks. If people aren't familiar with that,
I'd love to hear about actually that, because I had never heard of that either before you mentioned it.
Chatbooks is Snapfish for dummies, is what I like to call it.
Oh, okay.
If people aren't familiar with Snapfish, basically Snapfish is where you can design your own books of pictures. You can add words. You can do you can basically design it any way you want to, and they print them for you, mail them to you. Chatbooks has that, but the reason I like it so much is we have ours set up to where anything I upload to Facebook, it automatically puts in an album for us. And when you get to 60 pictures, they send you an email and basically say, do you want a book of these 60 pictures? Of course, you can say no. You can take some out, add some, and it's simply one picture per page.
Oh.
And so it becomes like an old school photo album, but with the ones you've uploaded to Facebook. You can also link to it Instagram. And you also can make it to where it will type under the picture any captions that you've put on there. So if your family went to a parade, you know, and here's Susie in the band or whatever, that's typed under the photograph, and also puts the date of the upload on the page if you want it. And it's always 60 pages. You actually have to pay more to do less or more pictures. So it's just 60 pages, all of them the same size. And the price is hard to beat. I think we just do the slowest shipping. We don't care if we get the pictures anytime soon. You know, it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get them. We don't care. That's fine. And I think it's $9.
Huh.
So we really like that. In fact, I was just looking while we were talking. I'm almost to another 60 pictures. So I got to go snap a few pictures. I get our book soon.
That's really neat. And that kind of, like, you know, it kind of puts, you don't have to think about it. They just send you the book. That's really cool.
That's right. And all of them look exactly the same. You can actually title the books whatever you want. And that becomes like the little spine on the side, you know, Christmas 2016 or Our Family Spring or whatever, becomes kind of the little spine on the book. You can do paperback. We do paperback. You can do hardback. That does cost more.
That's really cool.
It's really cool. And learned about that from Wesley and Denise Skelton, who do Arrows in Our Hand. They do that all the time. And learned about that from them and really, really have gotten to that. And also, just, you know, it's one thing to keep in mind, too, if you just want old school printed pictures, CVS and a lot of other places simply have apps where you just upload pictures and send them from your phone directly to the store and walk in and pick them up. And that's a great way to actually get old school printed pictures.
Absolutely. And I was going to mention as well, my wife is a avid user of Shutterfly, and she gets all of hers printed at Shutterfly. And, you know, they'll send out coupons for, you know, 10 free prints on this and this, and you just pay shipping all the time. And so get on Shutterfly. They also have an app, and they'll ship those to you as well. One I wanted to mention, it's not a lot like Chatbooks because it doesn't do it automatically for you like every 60 photos, but it gives you a certain little book that's really, really nice. It's called Mosaic, and it's a really cool little, you can have this book, this high quality book, put in there, and you can put the photos in there as well, and you can arrange them how you want them. You can put them in different layouts if you want them, and it's just a nice little high quality book. It's about, you know, it's big as about a 6x9 Bible as well, and it's just a really cool little thing. I had it printed way back when, a couple of years ago, for a trip that me and my family took to California, and it was just really great. And the name of that app is, I believe, Mosaic.
That's cool. I've actually heard of that. Never heard Mike explain what it actually was. I've heard it mostly.
It's a lot like chatbooks, except you just, you know, do it manually. You just load your photos on there and do it manually. And you know, do it all on your smartphone as well.
One thing I'll mention about chatbooks very quickly is the books are actually squares, and so most people get into it through Instagram. They link their Instagram because the pictures are square, and that way they kind of match the page. We do Facebook, but you can actually combine them too, or you can upload pictures from your camera roll on your phone too. Either one is fine. I just automatically have it set for Facebook, but you can add pictures, delete pictures that are on your camera roll or Instagram or anything else as well. But a lot of people do Instagram because it's automatically square and the books are square. So
very cool.
So there we go. We have all kinds of memories, and Chad, now we've got them on our computer. We've got them on our phone. We've got them in chat books and mosaics and Snapfish and everything else. Now we've got to go out and take the things.
That's absolutely right. Just get out there and take some pictures.
That's right. But Chad, we really appreciate you being with us today and just kind of peeling back the curtain. We had about a zillion different tech issues before we started recording. You may have noticed a changeover in quality a little bit. Chad is actually recording the latter 80% of this podcast on his equipment because mine decided to just go haywire on me. But Chad, we appreciate your time and your help today.
Well, I'm happy to do it. Thank you so much for having me on, Adam.
I want to let our listeners know that there'll be several links to some of these apps and sites and things in the show notes to this episode, as well as to Chad's website, and all those can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD72, and very quickly, let me let you know that we'll be back in 2 weeks as usual, but I'm actually going to come back on next week and do a very short podcast. We're changing our format just a little bit. Don't worry, we're still going to be with you every 2 weeks, but just a little quick announcement podcast next week, probably no more than about 3 or 4 minutes long, just to kind of fill you in on where we're going following that, going into the month of February. And it's amazing. We're almost to February 2017. But for Chad being with us, we appreciate you. Appreciate all of our listeners being with us on this week's episode. And remember, until next time, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.